In preparing for communion and a little devotional as we wrap up today, I'd like to invite Scott to come and do our Bible reading for us.
John chapter 1, verse 5 to 2, verse 2. Here is the message we have heard from God and now tell to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So if we say that we have fellowship with God, but continue living in the darkness, then we are liars. We do not follow the truth. God is in the light. We should live in the light too. If we live in the light, we share fellowship with each other. And when we live in the light, the blood of the death of Jesus, God's Son, is making us clean from every sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are fooling ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he will forgive our sins. We can trust God. He does what is right. He will make us clean from all the wrongs we have done. If we say that we have not sinned, then we make God a liar. We do not accept God's true teaching. Jesus is our helper. My dear children, I write this letter to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have Jesus Christ to help us. He is the righteous one. He defends us before God the Father. Jesus died in our place to take away our sins, and Jesus is the way that all people can have their sins taken away too.
I don't know if you guys remember when they were looking for someone to fill the generations pastor role. It originally started out as the awesome people pastor role. And I wasn't sure what that quite meant because it sounded a bit funny to me. I was like, is the person an awesome person? But actually in coming into this role, I've realized just how true that original title was in that, honestly for me, I get to pastor the most awesome people. And it's a true honor and a true privilege to get to be invited into their lives, and to also get to come alongside them on days like today and help, explore what their talents and their passions are and journey alongside them in their faith and their life as well. Besides all the people you've seen on stage today, there's also been some young people trying some new things. So we've got Bailey as co-pilot with Max on video today, and we've got Jasmine on data. We've got, I think I saw Jed and Jess doing some greeting earlier, as well as Chloe. So, we've got a church full of awesome people, including yourselves. But this morning, I just really want to highlight our awesome young people because, honestly, like, they are such a blessing and such an encouragement. Yeah. Even just in the last 8 weeks of being in this role, I feel like my faith in God and just my sense of calling just feels even greater because of the encouragement that they've personally put into me as well. So it's a very reciprocal relationship. This morning in kind of wrapping up and looking at that 1 John reading and looking at camp, I just wanted to share a little bit and might end up doing a little bit of reading along the way. But something really beautiful I find about Easter Camp and more recently BYG, which is the big Baptist youth gathering, there's a corporate energy and a real buzz to sharing in the highs and lows of life together, in finding motivation, accountability and encouragement from those on the journey with us. When the campsite is empty and we're back in our daily lives, kind of like we are now 6 weeks after Easter Camp, it can be hard to find that momentum again, and actually that's okay. God is still God, and God is still good in the quiet, in the mundane, and in the unremarkable moments that make up our lives as well. On Friday night at youth, we did a Star Wars simulation game, which may have been more fun for the adults, but that's okay. One of the things we talked about after that is that when we watch movies, the characters, we see the characters' lives for 90 minutes, and there's a lot of action in those 90 minutes, a lot of things taking place. But we rarely stop to think about what might be happening for those characters before the trailers began and after the credits start rolling, their lives are probably quite unremarkable in many ways too, but that's part of the journey. There's a richness as well to that day-to-day consistency of life. I think our greatest challenges are not the ones we face in the movie moments of our lives, but in building faithful habits and trusting our lives and our hearts to God's provision. It's also in our unremarkable moments where we are prone to temptation and sin, but it's also in those moments where Jesus invites us to seek him, confess our sins, and accept the grace and redemption that he offers us. I think we often take for granted that this confession and forgiveness of our sins is not so much a get-out-of-jail-free card so that we can be allowed back in the kingdom, but rather it's because that's what we need, because those are the things that are holding us back from being in relationship with our Creator and Saviour. It's to soften our hearts that have been hardened by our selfishness, our ego, our anger, our lust, our greed, and our contempt. Our sins hurt us, they hurt others, and they hold us away from Jesus, not the other way around. And though it may seem condemning, I think there is a real optimism and hope in the verse that Scott read for us in 1 John. So I'd like to read it again as we prepare our hearts for communion today. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us all from sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. This is maybe the most hopeful part for all of us as we go into our maybe more mundane parts of life. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the world. In Ephesians 2, we also read, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do." As we prepare for communion, let's take a moment together to confess our sins in our hearts, and also to invite Jesus to soften our hearts and accept that forgiveness so that we may live boldly as new creations. Let us take a moment together. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." As we take the bread together, I invite us, to invite Jesus again into that, into our hearts, to provide that, that healing, that restoration, and that re-softening. Let us take the bread together. And as we drink from the cup, I invite us to reflect on Jesus' great love and sacrifice for us and for humanity. May we still our hearts with gratitude, humility, and awe. Let us drink together. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, I cannot even begin to thank you for the extraordinary grace and mercy that you show us consistently. Father, as we leave here today, I pray that we leave with hearts softened and ears opened to you and to what you might be doing in our lives, even in those quiet, unremarkable moments. But we also ask, Lord, that as we find ourselves hitting dead ends tomorrow, as we find ourselves tempted by whatever the world challenges us with, as we find the predictability of life to maybe smack us in the face, I pray that you help bring us to this place once again, day after day, of being reminded of what you've done and what you offer us, and that your table is always open. Yeah, Lord, may we have a posture of communion every day in our hearts where we come and we eat at your table and we accept that invitation, knowing that we've done nothing to deserve to be there, and yet it is open to us nonetheless. In your name we pray. Amen.